Again, good morning, everybody. So nice to see you. And did we didn't take offering, did we? Did we forget to take offering?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Please take the offering. We had a couple of things changed around here this morning today. I appreciate your patience, as sometimes it's ad hoc. You know, how often do we get to talk to a missionary on the big screen? That's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. But this morning we're going to talk about missionaries and such. And the title of this message is called Troublemakers. Ugh, troublemakers. But I hope we're blessed to be part of this God's message for us today. We're going to be reading about the Apostle Paul, and along with Silas and Timothy, and they're going to be labeled as troublemakers. And these missionaries are in the middle of the second missionary journey of Paul in the early church starting up. They were going about starting new churches, and right now they're in the middle of this place called Philippi of Macedonia, which is basically in the southeastern part of Europe. I don't know if you have ever been to Europe or not, but it's a beautiful place over there. But hill and dale, and when you get to the southeast part over there, there's a lot of, it's rough circumstance. It's not the most pleasant of circumstances. Beautiful, but not the most easy traveled arena, especially at this time in our scripture verses. But please turn to Acts 16, verse 16. 16:16 is what it's called. Page 983 of the Pew Bibles, which is the inspired and the infallible living Word of God. Acts 16, verse 16. And last week we read where Paul, Silas, and Timothy were trusting in the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit told them not to stop in Asia as they were traveling through, but go straight to Macedonia as they traveled. And subsequently, they met Lydia, the lady of purple cloth, remember from last week, and their family, and they had them baptized. They accepted the Lord, and they were baptized. And now they're ministering and reaching out to the people in that area of Macedonia. In verse 16, it says, "Once as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune telling. As she followed Paul and us, she cried out, 'These men who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation are the servants of the Most High God.' She did this for many days." Okay, we'll stop there for a second. This slave girl was a fortune teller, or a medium. I would dare say there's probably some of you that have visited fortune tellers or mediums. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But she was demon-possessed, this says. She made money for her slave masters by telling people's fortunes. We have these fortune teller things even in our neighborhood as well. Over on Avenue of the Cities, I think there's one, as a matter of fact. Not that I want you to go there, but you should know that God considers these things detestable and evil even. He tells us not to participate in such things. And you can read about this yourself if you want to. In Deuteronomy 18:9 is a good place to start, where God tells Moses and us here today not to imitate the detestable things of these types, fortune tellers and such. Do I believe that she was really telling the future? Well, perhaps. We do not know for sure, but demons were guiding her. It says right here in Scripture. Many people believe they have special powers, but they really are just hosts or slaves to Satan and his demons. The problem is, you never know if what they're telling you is real or not. Satan has powers, but he is not all-powerful like God. Satan is not like God in his unlimited knowledge and wisdom. God is omnipresent. He knows all things. He sees all things, and he reveals all things. Satan is under that. Satan has lived since the foundation of the earth, and the angels were made, but that doesn't mean that he has the same powers. He might have the wisdom of time, if you will, and he might have some other dynamics that we will never understand this side of heaven, but he is evil, and his desires are to trip you up and use you for his purposes. The information that he provides can be dangerous, and it's not worth the gamble. God doesn't want you to gamble on demonic-influenced fortune tellers. He says for us to stay away from them, as well as witches and Ouija boards and the like. I don't even like astrology, as it kind of falls into that same dynamic area of telling your fortune and such. Don't give Satan a foothold into your good character. Paul was greatly annoyed, now it says in our text here, continues. Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the Spirit, he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. I can yell that because it has an explanation point at the bottom of there. And it came out of her right away. So, again, this lady was shouting over and over again, these men are proclaiming to you the way of salvation, our servants of the Most High. I mean, it sounds like a great advertisement mechanism, to be honest with you. But I wish some of you would probably go out and do the same thing. They come to this church. It's where you hear God's word. But here it was more of an annoyance here. What she was saying was the truth. However, she wasn't shouting this for the purpose to spread the gospel or giving God reverence. She was trying instead to make a mockery of Paul and the missionaries. She was calling attention to them so that they wouldn't be successful. And it says that she did this for many days. Paul was a foreigner in that land, I'll remind you, like the missionary we saw just earlier. And the last thing he needed was someone embarrassing him as he was trying to appeal to people's hearts and intellects about accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's supposed to be a relationship thing. That's what this is all. It's supposed to be real and be a relationship thing. And this lady was making a mockery. Then it says here that Paul got rid of the demon spirit. Another verb phrase used for this type of thing is exercising the spirit. And I don't mean the exercising there, Quentin. I don't mean like, you know, pushing up the metal, but exercising. It's just like the word exodus was when Moses and the Israelites exited Egypt. Paul caused the evil spirit to exit or leave the lady. Notice Paul used the name of Jesus Christ to do this. The devil, the demons didn't leave because of Paul. It was Jesus who had the power. Paul just called upon the power of Jesus Christ to get rid of the demon that was inside her. We know that Paul later wrote in Philippians 2:10, by the way, Philippi, the place that he's at, is the same location. He said, in Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what Paul was doing was exactly like that, exactly that. So you might be wondering, though, too, if we might, as Christians, have this same power that Paul showed us here. Well, that's a very interesting debate. And God does give us the Holy Spirit power, and we have His Spirit inside us. But I did a little research, and I believe that the apostles, them in particular, were uniquely, and God granted them special abilities for a season that even isn't necessary today. Remember, they didn't have, you know, how many? We got 50 copies of the Bible here, God's holy word, right here that we can grab hold of. These apostles didn't have that as they were going on. These missionaries, they didn't have that as they were going on. God equipped them with these great powers, the abilities, so that they could start churches. Now, again, that doesn't say that you don't have these same tools in your toolbox, but these apostles were special, and it's written in our scripture that talks about that. However, now that we have this Bible, we believe that God's word now is complete. We say every morning in our service here, the inspired, the infallible, living word of God, but that book is done. Anybody who adds, and that's another scripture verse, anybody adds anything to these words will be I forgot what they use, but it's in Revelation at the beginning and the end. It's not good. The Bible is all we need. And as Christians, we have more armor now and weaponry to battle the spirit world that even the early Christians didn't. The role of casting out demons, as is shown here, is secondary in priority to the work of evangelism and discipleship. Evangelism means going out and carrying out the Great Commission, presenting the gospel to the nations. And then discipleship means I'm bringing you up in the knowledge of the Lord so that you will be equipped to do His good work. Don't get me wrong, I think that we should be proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ in whatever we do. And I personally keep His name and His word on my side, just and I use them like the old gunfighters would in the old days, and I'll pull it out and I'll especially if I feel the demonic pressure around me. Don't be afraid to say the word Jesus Christ. If you are feeling like Satan is on his prowl, or the demons are impacting your life in some way, then pray, and even pray aloud, and don't hesitate to say Jesus' name in those situations. The main point here is that we should stay away from anything that takes us away from acknowledging God as our Lord and Jesus as our Savior. As this fortune teller, God doesn't like that, and we don't need it. It continues, verse 19, it says, when her owners, the slave girl's owners, realized that their hope of profit was gone, so when the demons left her, she no longer had that ability apparently, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Bringing them before the chief magistrate, they said, these men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and they are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adapt or practice. The crowd joined into the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. This is Paul and Silas here. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them in the inner prison and secured their feet with stocks. That don't sound like any fun at all. Stocks is a painful situation. It's not just wooden clamps on your legs, but it's also the position that you're held. You're not allowed to move around, and it's painful circumstance. Again, Paul didn't physically do anything wrong here. The woman was going out of her way to make a mockery of Paul, Silas, Luke, and Timothy. Paul then helped the lady by freeing her from her evil spirit. But the owners, plural by the way, of the slave lady were now denied their ill-gotten profit. It kind of reminds me of the old days in the slave trading way back when the Civil War, a lot of that was incited because the commercial world started recognizing maybe they wouldn't have that free labor, that cheap labor of slaves, and they wouldn't be able to compete in the world market. So that's what caused a lot of the war back then. But here, they rose up the crowd, and they drug them out to the courthouse. Notice they didn't even charge them for taking away the livelihood which got them their attention in the first place. No, instead they exaggerated their charges now to going against the Roman laws, which was a lie. As a result, they were denied any defense, stripped of their clothes, beaten and flogged and thrown into prison. This is the life of a missionary sometimes, unfortunately. Well, we just saw Jeff there. This could be him. Very easily, this could be him. I've heard of in India, especially right now with the new president there, Modi. He's a great guy. He's an Indian native, you know, and they're happy about that. But he is vehemently against anything except Hinduism. Matter of fact, they're going out and they have soldiers dressed in red for the purpose of converting everybody back to Hinduism. I've seen them myself. They're intimidating, and they're designed to be intimidating. They put themselves on street corners, and they're wearing all red, and they're doing like jujitsu moves out there in the middle and scaring the people so they will not practice Christianity. It's sad. Paul and his friends here knew that they were going against the odds when they set out on a mission to carry out the Great Commission of Jesus. They weren't dummies. This is their second trip. They knew they were putting themselves in harm's way, and they did it anyway. They were supposed to go to all the nations and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here they were putting themselves in harm's way in an attempt to love and save the people's eternal lives. But instead, they were seen by the world at large, here especially, as troublemakers. Unfortunately, that's the life of a missionary sometimes. Today we have seen a video about missionaries. We talked to missionary, and now we're going to read about missionaries. God is trying to tell us something here today, I believe. We need to be supporting these missionaries. We need to be considering how we can serve as missionaries myself. My heart is that one day you all will participate in a missionary activity. Jeff there has told me, if any of you want to come to India, he will take you up and he will make you part of the work that he's doing there. What a privilege that would be. That doesn't necessarily mean, though, traveling the world, in Jeff's case, or putting ourselves in dangerous situations physically, but maybe it does. Or maybe it means that we should consider more putting ourselves on mission in our local communities or in the marketplace. A lot of people, even Christians, say, well, I don't want to make any waves. I don't want to, you know, tell people, you know, overtly that I'm a Christian. Instead, I'll be quiet and subvertly do it. Well, are you willing to put yourself in uncomfortable situations in order to share the gospel? I was working at John Deere, and I got ridiculed sometimes because I wore my Christian spirit on my sleeve. Everybody knew who I was. Are you willing to be that type of person, or do you want to hide it? God wants you to be light in the world. What do you got to lose? That's my next point on here. What do you got to lose? I don't want to put you on a spot, but please ask yourself, what are you willing to do in order to carry out the Great Commission? Like Paul and his band of brothers, we know that our security is secure in heaven. We know that. Jesus said that he prepared a place for us, a mansion even. We know that there's nothing we can do that'll take that away. With that understanding, we should be brave. These folks were trying to do good, but they ran into troubling circumstance. We will see how this turns out in the verses that we'll read next week, but I want you to consider taking the example given here by Paul in your own lives going forward. And please don't participate, as we move forward, in anything that smells like fortune-telling or anything of that nature, witchcraft, dark magic, or any of these things. These things are ploys of Satan. They're designed to trip you up. And they are detestable to God. And they are not to be part of our Christian walk. We are to be salt and light to the world. Salt cleanses. Light illuminates and it reveals sin. That is what Paul was doing when they persecuted them as troublemakers. Are you willing to be ridiculed and persecuted for bringing salt and light in the world? And as you go, don't be discouraged, dear Christ followers, even if, when you are labeled as a troublemaker, because as what we read this at the start of service today, Jesus said to them, and he says to us now, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of age," and in that we can have much comfort. So I'm not calling you to be a Paul or a Silas or a Timothy here. I'm not calling you to be necessarily like Jeff, but I do want you to take risks. Godly risks for godly purposes and give the glory to God. Be humble in what you present, but don't be surprised if you too are labeled a troublemaker. Would you please rise? As we close every service today, I want to offer you again this time to come together, and we'll sing one verse of Amazing Grace. And if you want to make this church your own,
if you want to consider accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you want to get baptized, or if you just want prayer, we offer you this time. Come forward and let me pray over you.
Please. And thank you, Lord, for making the technology work. Father God, we love you. We love how you affirm to us your presence with us in our daily walk. Lord, I ask that you be with one and all of us here today. Lord, as we consider making our lives more on point, more missional in style, Lord, so that we give you all the glory and that people's lives might be saved through you. Father God, we love you. And as we prepare for this Christmas season, Lord, be with each and every one of us, Lord. This is the season that people are pointing to you. And Lord, we love you. And we thank you for all you've done for us. It's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here. God bless you all. Play it.